Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
Devaluing the word great if you follow for Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Final hour of the show on this Thursday afternoon. Now, Luke Lipinski, Ron Wolfley here with you, and we're going back out to the Coulter Automotive Group sports line to talk to Pete Bursich, the Vikings radio analyst, former NFL linebacker, joining us right now to give us the Vikings perspective on this game. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Pete. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
The loss to Cincinnati to begin the season, Pete. Now, the good news is everybody else in the North lost, too. But can you just give us a sense of, like, what the pressure is on the Vikings heading into this game in week two?
I think it's, you know, it mounts. I mean, and that's something for us as fans and us as analysts really to, you know, think about, because you have Seattle coming to town right after we play you guys. It's, you know, team that we've struggled against, Russell Wilson, for the last, oh my God, it seems like a decade or so. But it's 1 week at a time, and right now we all want to make this game so complicated. And, you know, that's what we love to do, dig into the details, talk about those things. But when you come away from a game, you know, minus one in the take give, and you have 12 accepted penalties, You're not going to win a lot of those games. I don't care who you're playing. This is the NFL. And so the good news, I think the good news, bad news of it is those are things that are correctable, or hopefully are correctable. And it's no surprise that you know, we ended up not beating the Cincinnati Bengals.
Pete, could you describe the Minnesota Vikings offense to me? Like, I've never seen it before. How would you describe their offense?
The offense starts and stops with Dalvin Cook. I mean, I think that he is the respect that he garners from defenses, and by respect, I mean with what teams do with schemes, with what they have to do to really stop him. You know, because he's explosive. He can score touchdowns, running the football, and that's a big deal. It's a subtle but very important point where, if you got a guy who's a good runner, but he doesn't have that breakaway speed and he's not going to score touchdowns on you, you know, then you could defend, you know, defend on the pass and, you know, let, you know, maybe bleed a little bit through the run. Dalvin can absolutely light up the scoreboards. I mean, 17 touchdowns last year, 16 on the ground. You schematically start with him, and then everything else builds off of that. And I think the respect that Dalvin gets, if you start getting any type of single high safety type coverage, then you have, you know, two really good receivers in Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, young man named KJ Osborne, second year player who showed up last week. You know, those guys can be explosive too. And that's kind of the key to this offense, our big plays, explosive plays, which we didn't really get any of last week against Cincinnati.
Talking to Vikings radio analyst, former NFL linebacker Pete Bursich. Pete, along the lines of Dalvin Cook, 61 yards rushing last week, which, like, isn't bad, but this is a guy that had 206 yards in a game last year against Detroit and 163 the week before. So just relative to what you have seen him do consistently throughout his career, did Cincinnati kind of bottle him up?
I would – They didn't let him get explosive. I mean, they were very physical up front. You know, he did have 43 yards in the receiving, so he had over 100 yards total. But they did a good job up front being really physical and not letting Dalvin get to that second level. I mean, what we like to see are safeties stepping up and having to tackle Dalvin, because they will maybe early in the game, but later on in the game, you know, Dalvin has a way of, you know, wearing those guys out and breaking some arm tackles. So, you know, he set up a couple nice plays. He got outside on a run that was pretty well contained. He just, you know, set the block up perfectly and got himself outside. So, you know, I think Cincinnati was very disciplined in their running game and defending the run game. They had sometimes – five big guys, six to seven other guys on the line of scrimmage. They all out blitzed. They were very, very aggressive. And, you know, that really is what helped them out.
Pete, would you say that in rundown situations like first and 10, second and 1-6, that the Vikings love to use power personnel groups like 21 personnel or 13 personnel? Would you say that's a true statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, CJ Ham, who's our fullback, you know, is an outstanding football player. You know, we had Irv Smith Jr. at tight end. He's going to miss, you know, he's on IR, missed the entire season with a knee injury and meniscus repair. So Tyler Conklin, Chris Herndon, Ben Ellison, a couple guys that we traded for at the end that are signed to try to help, you know, just open up the running game. You know, we'll bring in an extra offensive lineman every once in a while. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you do. But, yeah, in that respect, from a personnel standpoint, yeah, it's a little old school. You don't see a lot of fullbacks in the league anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and C.J. Ham is a good one. And Dalvin runs really well behind a fullback. You know, it's interesting because we watched Adrian Peterson for so many years, and Adrian didn't like a fullback in front of him because it kind of just slowed him down. He wasn't going to slow down for anything. He was just taking that thing and going north and south, where Dalvin's a little bit more patient and sets things up a little better.
Pete, the Vikings had five sacks of Joe Burrow, and I know it's a little bit different sacking Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray, but I mean, we're talking about two of the teams with Arizona and Minnesota after week one that lead the NFL in sacks. Now, Minnesota spread it out. They didn't just have Chandler Jones get five by himself. But what is that Viking pass rush like?
Surprisingly, we got some juice up the middle from Michael Pierce. Michael Pierce is a guy that we brought in from Baltimore to be a run stopper. He's about 6'2", 350 pounds. So, yeah, he's definitely a load, you know, in the middle. And he did a nice job. And, you know, that's one of the things that he's been working with Andre Patterson, transitioning from the run defense to pass rushing when need be. So these are base down type sacks. These are not third down type sacks because we bring in other guys in on third down. So he provided some pressure, got two sacks. Danielle Hunter got another one, but it was a really nice defensive effort by Mackenzie Alexander, really to take away what Burrow wanted to do throwing the football. Harrison Smith had a sack blitzing. Nick Vigil, also a linebacker, had a sack blitzing. So we had to blitz a little bit to create some pressure. It wasn't all from just the four-man rush. But Danielle Hunter is really the guy that you have to pay attention to. He's our single guy. You look at Chandler Jones and 102 sacks, you know, and Danielle Hunter was the youngest of 50. So it's kind of like if you want to call him a young Chandler Jones, I guess, you know, that's what you can call him.
Right. Hey, Pete, is Mike Zimmer still heavily involved on the defensive side of the ball with his philosophy?
I think so. He's still, you know, that's his baby. I mean, one of the things that's interesting is if you look at the 11 guys that we've fielded on defense, we only had 9 of those guys on the roster a year ago.
Wow.
And actually one of those guys was playing a completely different position. So, you know, Harrison Smith and DJ Wanham were really the only guys that came back from a year ago, you know, so that's, you know, sorry about the noise. You know, so we, you know, nine guys that are new to the system. So, you know, he definitely wanted them or wanted to revamp that defense. Now, his son is a signal caller, and as well as Andre Patterson, the defensive line coach. So, yes, he's still pretty heavily involved on the defensive side.
Pete Burstich, great talking to you. Thank you for the time.
Pete.
Enjoy the game Sunday, all right?
All right, guys. Thank you again.
Okay, man.
That's Pete Burstich joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, Coulter Cadillac Tempe. Experience the difference at CoulterCadillacTempe.com. Text Red C right now to 620-620 and listen for your name today at 1:35 p.m., which is not that far from now, and 3:35 p.m. You can win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener against Minnesota on Sunday. Plus, one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red Sea to 620-620. Coming up, if the Cardinals continue to dominate this season, will Cliff Kingsbury actually get any of the credit for it? That is next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is Cliff Kingsbury, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Let's go, Lucky Ramp, Lucky Ramp, Lucky Ramp to start. Here we go.
I feel like we've added a lot of key additions to the team. You know, from year one to now, yeah, we're in a good spot.
I think the accountability on this team with a lot of the leaders we brought in has really, I guess, leveled up.
Cliff Kingsbury has to go from, like, really good offensive mind to head coach in the NFL.
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
Funny, before we get into the Cliff stuff here, Wolf, the headline, one of the headlines on ESPN right now is Eric Bieniemy says focus on Kansas City Chiefs, not USC Trojans.
Okay, there you go.
Which I'm just going to read into that. This is why you don't fire your coach 2 weeks into the season when everybody else you want to hire already has a job.
Okay.
That's it. I just that popped up right as we were coming back.
Yeah.
Break, so I just wanted to throw that out there.
Maybe if you're the athletic director, maybe you're looking at it thinking Clay Helton is going to do more damage to us than good.
It's got to be something
it's
like
gotta
that.
It's got
to be. For you to urgently get him out of there and not really have a clear plan. At
yes.
least doesn't seem like it after that. All right, one coach that is pretty happy, I'm sure, with what went down in week one of the NFL season is Cliff Kingsbury, as the Cardinals got that 38-13 win. And there's been this perception out there, and I'm not saying 1 week should change it by any means, but like here, I'll just read you the headline off Deadspin from last night. Is Kyler Murray carrying Cliff Kingsbury? And it goes through the story, just kind of talks about it. Again, Deadspin's not, you know, breaking down stats. This is not, it's not a football website.
Right.
But to me, that headline really sums up how a lot of people are going to perceive this Cardinals team, even if they're winning. And I'm not even saying that, you know, there's no steadfast, oh, if the Cardinals are winning, it means this happened and this happened. But they're not going to get where they want to go if Kingsbury is not evolving as a coach.
Yeah,
and I do wonder if people already have like their mind made up, no matter what the Cardinals do, it's never going to be enough from Cliff.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's a lot of people out there that want to see Cliff Kingsbury fail as an NFL head coach. That's plain to me. That's clear to me. That's not even a question. There's a lot of people that want to see Cliff Kingsbury explode as an NFL coach. One of the big reasons right now, I'll tell you, is the fact that he got hired. He got hired, and there's a lot of people out there that think he shouldn't have been hired, that he didn't deserve it, that here he was, a failed college coach, a fired college coach, who was suddenly an offensive coordinator and got hired as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. And a lot of people think it was because of Kyler Murray that they were going to draft Kyler Murray, and that's why they hired Cliff Kingsbury. And you're absolutely right. That's why they did it. Because of his brain. See, there's always two ways of looking at anything. Is there not, ladies and gentlemen? It's
at
always
least.
Two ways, at least, of looking at anything right now. And I think there's a lot of people that want to see Cliff fail because this perception that he got something he did not deserve. Now, you can say that all you want. It's not a matter of did you deserve it. It's a matter of do you belong. If you found the greatest football player walking around the Himalayas, let's just say you found the real Bigfoot walking around the Himalayas. He's the greatest football player known to man. They just don't have a professional league over in the Himalayas. Would you care? Would you care? No.
You just
bring him onto your football team and say, have at it, big boy.
And then people would be like, he doesn't deserve to play. He was just wandering
exactly.
around the Himalayas.
Nobody's going to care about that. Once again, there's a lot of people who want to see Cliff Kingsbury fail because he is a guy that runs an offense that is a little different and unique. He's not old school. He's not the known commodity, so to speak. And I think there's a lot of people, frankly, that are just pure jealous of Cliff Kingsbury and want to see him fail because of that.
It did feel like nationally last year, there were certain media members, anytime the Cardinals failed, they were like, look, see, I told you Cliff isn't good. And see, I don't fall into the, okay, he doesn't deserve it category. I fall into the, he messed up some stuff last year, but the record still was better than the year before. He has this year to sort of prove it to me that he is the guy that, they can't get the Cardinals to 500. Yes, that's a huge improvement of where they were a couple years ago. But you got Kyler Murray. You've got this pass rush. You've got some pieces on this team that should be winning playoff games and going deep into
it's
the
time
playoffs.
To win.
So he has to show, Cliff has to show me he can do that. But if the Cardinals do that, then he's shown me he can do it.
You know, once again, listen, players win games in the NFL. Players win games. Players win. Anyone who's listened to this broadcast, at least of the Doug and Wolf show, for the first 15 years I was on the air, anybody that listened to that, you know what I'm going to say about that. Players win games. Coaches lose them. That is my belief. That's just me, but it's the reason why I'm on the air, ladies and gentlemen. They want my opinion, and that's my opinion. Players win games. Coaches lose games. I don't want to minimize coaching in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to do that at all. It's important. There's no doubt it's important. But it was always Tom Brady. Make no mistake about it. Bill Belichick is... He's one of the finest head coaches I have ever played for. As a matter of fact, I would play for him in a heartbeat, more so over any other head coach I ever had. Bill Belichick. Loved him. Absolutely. 2 years of just nirvana with Bill Belichick. But it was always Tom Brady. Tom Brady wins games. Now, again, the culture, Bill Belichick. The draft, Bill Belichick. The type of player he was bringing in, Bill Belichick. No doubt about it. But at the same time, if you don't got players, you're not going to win. Don't care how good a coach you are.
I'm going to read you a couple sentences from the story, okay? I'll get your reaction to it. So this is not me saying this. This is from the Deadspin story. Just the opinion. Quote, if Murray can take the next step in his maturation and becomes one of the premier playmakers in the league this season, don't be surprised if Kingsbury gets a nice addition to his bank account. Murray becoming an MVP candidate and leading the Cardinals to at least 10 wins would all but ensure a contract extension for Kingsbury.
Should.
And what's wild about the whole thing is that many of the plays that make Kyler Murray special have nothing to do with Kingsbury's play calling or offensive scheme, unquote.
You know what? On the football field, there's no doubt about it. It's right. That's a true statement. Watch him do things on the football field that are unscheduled, so to speak.
But that would be... any coach with Kyler Murray.
Absolutely.
It's not like if Kyler Murray had a let's say Sean McVay was Kyler Murray's coach. I think Sean McVay is one of the five best coaches in the NFL.
I would agree.
He wouldn't tell Kyler Murray, hey, you know what makes you special and really good? Don't do that because I want to look better as a coach. Like,
yes, you're right. There's no doubt. We understand that. But again, it's Kyler Murray is developing as a franchise quarterback right now. He's not there yet, in my opinion, Basinonians. He's not. He's on the road to becoming all that in a bag of chips. But Cliff Kingsbury has helped him develop from being a rookie, offensive rookie of the year, to second-year player, all-pro, or a pro bowler, I should say. And now all of a sudden, that next step here in the third year, you know what? Cliff Kingsbury should get an extension if Kyler Murray goes out there and balls out. He should, and if they win games, of course. And if let me just say that if Kyler Murray plays well the rest of the Arizona Cardinals are going to the postseason. Just understand that. If he plays well the rest of the year, barring some type of major injury bug that hits this team, if Kyler Murray plays well and is going to the Pro Bowl once again, by the end of the year, I will tell you right now, they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah,
they're going to be in the postseason.
And if he's doing that, if he's taking the step in year three, I'm not saying that's all the coach. A lot of it is obviously Kyler. But unless, like, if the Cardinals go 11-6, let's say, and that'll get you in the playoffs, I think, even in this division, some of that is Kingsbury. Unless your quarterback's coming out and be like, this guy's holding me back. I'm doing this despite him. Okay, well, then you maybe have an issue. But you and I have talked about this. To me, the best thing about Kingsbury is his willingness to admit and then try to learn, admit that he's not at the coaching level he needs to be at and to try to get there. And as long as he's your coach, whether you like having him as your coach or not, if he's getting better each year, That's all I'm asking for.
Man, you played a cut earlier of Cliff Kingsbury talking about that very thing.
Have it right here.
Can you play that?
You never know when you get into this. You know, I had never coached in the NFL. I had a belief in what we do and how we try to attack defenses. But I've had to learn a lot, take a lot of beatings, and I'm still learning every day.
The coach he was in year one and even year two, that's not good enough. But that's they knew they were hiring a coach that never coached in the NFL before.
People of the Sun, if you're listening right now, you never hear a head coach say that. Ever. What he just said. That's why I love him. He's humble and he's smart. And he's going to get better because he is humble. Because he can see his own flaws. He can see his own errors. And because of that, he's going to correct them.
No doubt. But I always think players, not plays, and lean with them. That's why with those QBs I've had, I always make sure, hey, if you don't like a play, I could think it's the greatest play I've ever designed in my life. If you don't like it, we're not calling it. And if they come to you with a play, you could think it's the dumbest play ever, but if they like it, they're going to make it work.
That's from SVP and Russillo from a little while back.
Players. It's about players, not the play. And I think Cliff, when he first came in, it was about the play. I think he's learning. It's about the player.
Well, and he knows how to sort of walk that fine line of like, okay, I got to be the authority in this locker room, but also I'm going to give you some freedom that maybe an old school coach isn't giving you. Again, Cliff's got to prove it for more than one game to me,
no doubt.
I'm just saying if he does prove it, then you got to give the guy credit. And if he doesn't, then, you know, I think we all probably know what'll happen.
A lot of people don't want to see him get it done because they're jealous.
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, what could we see tonight when the Giants and the Washington football team square off on Thursday Night Football? And could it in some way impact the Cardinals? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. A middle seat in coach. A first-class reclining suite with bottle service. Wolf and Luke.
All right, we got some football tonight. Wolf, we got the Washington football team hosting the New York Giants. Two 0-1 teams. I think one probably has higher hopes for this season. I know Jesse Morrison behind the glass wearing his Chase Young jersey has high hopes for tonight.
Yeah, I would imagine Washington's got a better chance of getting into the postseason, I think, than the Giants, but hey, listen, there's a lot of football to be played right now, and a lot of things can come together. And if, in fact, they figure out the Saquon Barkley situation, that guy is so incredibly talented, yet he hasn't made the impact that I thought he was going to make. And that's just, a lot of it is due to injuries, of course, but man, he just hasn't had that impact so far in the NFL.
Yeah.
Return of the Red Sea.
Well, that sounder means it's time for our Return of the Red Sea winner, and today it is Justin Grubb from Arrowhead. So Justin, you have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870 to get your tickets to the Cardinals home opener and to qualify for the autographed Kyler Murray jersey. If Justin doesn't call within 10 minutes, then we'll open the phone lines to someone else. If you didn't hear your name, you can still win by texting Red Sea to 620-620 and listen for your name in the 3 o'clock hour. Once again, Justin Grubb from Arrowhead. You have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870. All right, now that we've given away some tickets. This game tonight, and just the having football back, the greatness that brings, just in the sense that I remember what day of the week it is now, because I know Thursday Night Football, okay, it's Thursday. We got the Sunday games, we got the Monday. We went for a year there, Wolf, where I didn't know what day of the week it was. It took football to get me back on track, and I'm still kind of getting there. But this one tonight, I mean, Washington did win that division last year. We were talking with Lorenzo Alexander earlier, and he is of the mind that it's either Washington or, you know, either Philly or Dallas, probably not the Giants. I don't like Dallas. I'm a little worried that Dallas is a pretty good team, although they don't have much defense, and DeMarcus Lawrence is hurt, so maybe they don't. But from the Cardinals' perspective, you want what happened last year to happen in that division. Just one team, it can be a terrible division,
right,
or there can be one really good team, whatever. But you don't want two teams coming out of any other division, because that's life in the NFC West.
Yeah. Here's the whole thing. You've heard me say this before, and I'll continue to say it, but it's going to be put to the test with the Washington football team. you give me a defense and a punter, and I'll be in every game. And I think the Washington football team is going to be in a lot of games. I just don't know how many games they're actually going to win because of that offense. That is the question mark with them. I think they've got a very, very tough, it's not going to surprise anybody, very tough defense, a great pass rush. Of course, Chase Young, the beating heart of that pass rush. But you give me a great punter and you give me a great defense, I'll have that opportunity of winning some games. But I don't think they're going to have the offense to seal the deal. So the Dallas Cowboys, to me, coming out of the NFC East, that's my pick.
You mentioned Saquon Barkley, and it sounds like he will potentially play tonight, but the Giants will not, quote, totally unleash, unquote, Saquon Barkley tonight. So this was Barkley yesterday saying he is feeling better.
Feel pretty good. Felt good to get out there on Sunday. Obviously, a short week. Just trying to get my body back and get ready for Thursday night.
And then also talking about just finding any way he can to help the Giants.
My explosiveness to me is not a problem. I feel like it's all there still. I didn't really give myself opportunity or had opportunity to break a long one, so I guess I couldn't show that. But just got to stick with the game plan, stick with the runs, take the 30 runs. And when I get the opportunity to make a big play, make a big play. That's something I wrote down in my notes this week is obviously what's coming back and just knocking the rust off and getting the feel back in the game is, you know, breaking tackles, getting back to what I do best and find a way to be productive and help the team.
He's one of those guys where you feel like if he ended up in a different situation,
I don't know.
He was so explosive when he first got into the league, and then he gets hurt last year. I don't know if you remember when he got hurt last year. It looked like he got hurt on the previous play. I remember they were playing the Bears, and I was like, oh, well, he's done for the year. And then he got up, and then the next play he got hurt again because it's 11 guys. It looked like 11 on one at times when Saquon Barkley was running the ball.
Yeah, when he first came into the league, I mean, obviously his rookie year was just off the charts. Just fantastic. This guy had, I think it was, man, was it over 2,000 yards combined? Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was actually over 2,000 yards combined, running, of course, and receiving. He had 91 receptions on the year, his rookie year. Can you imagine that? 91 receptions for 721 yards, and he ran the ball over 1,300 yards, of course. He was just on fire his rookie year, and from that point forward, you look at it, the precipitous decline in his performance is notable. He played in 13 games in year two and then two games, of course, last year. And now he's hurt again, banged up, and hopefully he's already played in one game. Hopefully he'll make it two. But, man, the injury bug has really stolen a lot of his thunder.
On the other side, you have Taylor Heinicke starting because Ryan Fitzpatrick is hurt.
All I know is when I go out there, I'm excited to be out there. It's been a dream of mine, and I want to go out there and play some good football and win games. So maybe that's it. I try and go out there, give the guys some energy, and hopefully go get a win.
Yeah, that's one of those names where you look and you're like, oh, okay, Taylor Heinicke starting. Washington's in trouble.
Yeah.
He went out there, if you recall, in the playoffs against Tampa and did nearly beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, maybe more so than anybody else in the playoffs last year. They gave him the hardest push.
Yeah, there's no doubt, though. One time, one game, anybody can do anything one time for the most part, right?
When Tim Tebow took the Steelers out?
That's exactly right. Gave it one time, baby. I can't tell you how many times we said that, going down the tunnel, getting ready to play. Somebody yelled, one time! You can do anything to me once! In other words, just go out and give everything you've got. One game. Go out and do it right now. Of course, they'd say it the next week. I was never a one-time guy. I was never big on that. One time, baby! Never big on that. You know what? Why not all the time?
Well, I guess you'd want to do it one out of one times a lot, right? Is that the math equation you're trying to get to?
You know what? Honestly, I signed up for more than one time. I understand the concept and what it was that these guys were trying to do and trying to convey to us as we were getting ready to go out and ball out. But I just never understand overall, you know what? One time you can do anything to me once. I chose to do this to myself multiple times. I just did it all week in practice, man, by the way. You know, I mean, honestly, so I was never big on the one time.
One time is a short career.
Yeah, I was.
Like, yeah, I had a great week and then I retired.
Right. Never big on that. Also, I was never big on the go out and do what you were born to do. You know, I mean, whatever, dude. So dramatic.
What if you didn't find your calling in life and you weren't doing what you were born to do and you didn't even realize it?
You know what I liked? I liked in the tunnel, go hard or go home. That's what I liked.
That sounds like a wolf.
That was, yeah.
That's
go hard or go home.
Much better than let's try and do this one time. See how it works out.
One time, man. You can do anything to me. You know what? You signed up for this multiple times, bruh.
Text us your thoughts on the Thursday night game to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, what should the Cardinals expect from a desperate Vikings team on Sunday? We'll break it down to wrap up the show. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
One time.
Hi, this is James Conner, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Brent's to the right. He's got room at the 45.
I was running through the six with my walls.
I think Chase can do it all. I believe I can do it all.
Very excited about everybody that's in that room. I don't know if I've had a room quite as deep as this one.
Big hole Edmonds, 25-20, 10-5, touchdown.
Man, I just think explosive. Just the weapons that we have.
Running through the six with my
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
Final segment of the show, and we do have our winner in the Return of the Red Sea contest. Justin Grubb did call in. So your next chance to win is in the 3 o'clock hour with Burns and Gambo. And, of course, again, you can text Red Sea to 620-620 to enter in that one and try and get those tickets to Sunday's matchup between the Cardinals and Vikings. Wolf, the first home game with, like, regular fans, like a full stadium in basically 2 years.
Man, this is going to be great, isn't it? Fire you up right now. The return of the Red Sea, indeed.
I remember walking out of, it wasn't even, I don't even think it was State Farm Stadium yet at that point, but walking out of there for the last home game in 2019 and did not think it would be this long before we got it. I was going to like a Christmas party that night. Like it was just, it's been a while since we've had a normal game there.
There are so many things about life, I think you could say, in regard to the pandemic and what that has done to us over the last couple of years. This is going to be fantastic. It's one of the reasons why I will be shocked if the Arizona Cardinals are not on point, are not ready to ball out, are not ready to play, and don't play well. I think they're going to play well because of so many things of what I saw last week, because of the fact that they're playing their first home game in what amounts to 2 years, basically. Real home game, of course. I expect them to come out and play well, on point. Now, the Vikings are going to be desperate. There's no doubt about it. They're going to come prepared to play, but I'm hoping the Cardinals come out and from the get squash any hopes they have.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things Pete Bursich, the Vikings radio analyst, brought up when we had him on earlier in the hour, he brought up Danielle Hunter, number 99 on the Vikings, who I knew was a good player. I remember, I even remember back at LSU from a few years ago, third-round pick, but he has 29 sacks in the last 2 years. So this is not just like, oh, this is a developmental project for the Vikings. No, he has 20. He has sack on Sunday against Cincinnati, but 29 in the last 2 years. Minnesota had 5 sacks in that game against Cincinnati. Now, the Bengals can't block, and Joe Burrow doesn't move like Kyler Murray. But still, the Vikings, at least for one game, were able to get to the quarterback, and they have a legit pass rusher.
And see, that is really important for the Minnesota Vikings to get to the quarterback because I don't think their secondary is great. I don't. Pat P is their best cover guy, and I'm not saying Pat P is bad. Of course not. I'm not saying that, but I think we'd all agree Pat P's better days might be behind him right now at this point in time. He played very well last week. He's going to play well, I think, again, coming into State Farm Stadium, because every time Pat P is focused, every time that concentration is there, he plays well. And I think it's going to be there for obvious reasons. Not only DeAndre Hopkins, but also coming back to play the Arizona Cardinals and coming back to play in a stadium, I think at one point in time, his name will be up in the Ring of Honor. So I would expect all of that will get his attention, his focus, his concentration. And because of it, I think he's going to play well. But still, that doesn't cover for the rest of the Minnesota Vikings secondary. And that's what the Vikings have to do. Get to the queue before that secondary is exposed. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that with the Cardinals.
One of the guys that we've talked about a little bit, but comparatively to how much we talked about Derrick Henry last week, I don't feel like we've talked about Dalvin Cook nearly as much, and it's not a knock on Dalvin Cook. He's not as big as Derrick Henry because really nobody is, but this is a guy that I read off the numbers before. One, there was a stretch last year over two games where he had 365 rushing yards.
Yes.
In five touchdowns.
Pretty good.
In two games, yeah. He's the sort of guy that if Minnesota were to find a way to win the game, it would certainly be because of him. And Vance Joseph spoke today about what they did against Derrick Henry last week.
That's huge for our team. You know, last year we were just okay in a run game and sometimes not very good. You know, in our division with San Fran being a run-first offense, even the Rams being pretty run-first, and Seattle being a run-first offense, we've got to be better in the run game. And that comes from our D-line, you know, our young guys growing into being, you know, real players and signing J.J. and getting Corey back and having Chan healthy and having Golden healthy. I thought Zaven played really well in the run game. You know, he played about 25, 26 snaps. He was mostly in base downs in our big packages. He played well. Or Hicksie played well. So our front seven is a lot better than we were last year, you know, at stopping a run game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Right now, based on one game, and that's what it is. It is one game. But the Minnesota Vikings, they try to run the ball an awful lot, very similar to what the Tennessee Titans did a week ago. It's one of the reasons why I think we're going to see another good performance by the Arizona Cardinals front seven because of what they did against Derrick Henry, the most physical team, by the way. That's the one thing about it. Minnesota's offensive line is not great. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Wolfley reporting. Their offensive line is not great, especially if you can get them into third and obvious pass situations right now. So I'm hoping that Vance Joseph will be able to shut down the run, just steal Mike Zimmer's game plan for the most part. Because Mike Zimmer, the head coach for the Minnesota Vikings, there's one thing that's going to happen. You're not going to run the ball. Or at least that's what he's going to try to do, not allow you to run the ball so he can get you in those third and obvious pass situations. And then here comes the junk. Here it comes, baby. But it's all predicated on shutting down the run at first. And he's really the first guy that I think really made that philosophy popular. So the offensive line of the Minnesota Vikings, I will tell you, is a little suspect. And because of that, I would expect Vance Joseph to adopt the same mentality.
Yeah, I mean, he did say as much today that stopping the run would be the key to their success. We had Pete Bursich on earlier. He said, look, everything the Vikings do starts with Dalvin Cook. And that's not a shock. This is one of the best running backs in the NFL, and we'll be able to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. But, I mean, just because it's not Derrick Henry doesn't mean you're not facing one of the best guys. It's just, it's very different. And yet at the same time, if you can get guys tripping him up in the backfield before he can even get going, before he can even start getting free and getting that second or third level, the Cardinals at least have a blueprint now from 5 days ago about what they can do to have success.
No doubt about it, man. And that's one of the reasons why I expect them to play as well as they will.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you to Aaron Maloney behind the glass, Jesse Morrison as well. Thanks to Greg Coleman and Pete Bursich for joining us. For Wolf, I'm Luke. Burns and Gambo up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.